Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you so much for giving it to us. Thank you for not leaving us here on this earth to try to find out who you are and try to figure it out just by looking up into the heavens. Lord, you've given us enough, as you tell us in your word. You've revealed yourself just through your creation. So no one has an excuse. Anywhere and everywhere in the world, no one can have an excuse to believe that you don't exist. We know that. We know that that would be foolish. You say in your word, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. We know that. But Lord, we just thank you for specifically revealing yourself to us through your word, just in depth and in detail. We thank you that you gave it to us, that it's like a phone, that it's not like a book, Lord, that it's living, that we can go anytime and we can know you and hear your voice and know you better and better and grow in you. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word. And we come to this time, Lord, where we want to look into your word together, and we want to hear your word preached. We want to hear your message to us. So we ask that you would get the preacher out of the way so that we could hear your voice and your message. Open our hearts, make us receptive to what you want to tell us, and may we receive the word. May the word fall on good soil of our hearts. May our hearts be receptive and ready to hear what you tell us and to take it and do it. Lord, may not one of us here fail on the second part. May not one of us here just hear your word, Lord, and leave this place. Help us to do what you tell us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Walk as Jesus did. I've heard a story before of a blind lady that had an apple cart in the city, in a busy area of the city. And one day, a businessman dressed in his suit was in a rush to get to a meeting and was just walking as fast as he could and went to make a turn right around that apple cart and just hit it with his arm, knocked the whole thing over. Apples just rolling down the street, in the gutter, every which way, on the sidewalk. And the man, late for his meetings, very important meeting, stopped. He went back and he helped get every one of those apples back up on that cart for that blind lady. And of course, she struggled around trying to get some, but they worked together. And of course, he got almost all of them and got them all back where they needed to go. And he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am." And as he went to leave, she grabbed him and pulled him back close to her and said, "Are you Jesus?" Walk as Jesus did. Do people mistake you for Jesus? Has something like that ever happened to you? As you live your life, as you go about, does anybody ever mistake you for Jesus? Well, they should. As we grow in him, the longer we know him, the more we should look like him. The more we should walk like him. So let's look at some instruction from the Lord on how to do that. How can we walk as you did, Jesus? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And let's look at these first 10 verses. 1 John 2. If you're new at this, there should be a Bible near you somewhere. I think we have. We don't have Bibles out in this. We usually have them in our sanctuary. I apologize. If you're new at this, maybe you can find it. If you don't have a Bible, just see if there's somebody near you. I'm sure they'd be happy to share. And look at 1 John chapter 2. Just turn to the end of the Bible. Start turning back a little bit, and you'll start seeing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. You want 1 John 2, verses 1 to 10. As we look at this, So we look at this together, we see some tests of fellowship. If we have a relationship with the Lord, if we're walking with Jesus, there's some tests here that we can look at. But let's look at this. Walk as Jesus did. Let's read these verses together. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Walk as Jesus did. Well, if you're going to walk as Jesus did, don't sin. But if you do, God can take care of it. If you're going to walk as Jesus did, don't sin. But if you do, God can take care of it. That's good news. Look at verse 1 and 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So God is telling us there not to sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. Don't sin. But if anybody does, if you do, don't, but if you do, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. So the good news is don't sin, but if you do, there's somebody, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He speaks to the Father in your defense. Oh, Father, I died for his sins. You know, I already went there. That sin was already upon me. I already paid for that. And I don't know how it plays out. That's just my thinking. But we know what he tells us here, that Jesus, the righteous one, speaks to the Father in our defense. Anytime you sin, you've got somebody on your side speaking in your defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. In verse 2, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He did everything necessary to take care of. Don't sin, but if you do, and you fall short and you mess up, 2,000 years ago, he did everything necessary to take care of it. He went to the cross, and that sin, along with all the rest of your sin and all the rest of the sin of the world, was put on him at that time. And all the sin of the world in one place at one time was on the righteous one who knew no sin, on Jesus Christ. And then God's wrath is only against sin, and all the sin of the world was in one place at one time. So God poured out his wrath on Jesus because the wages of sin is death. That's a spiritual law. Sin has to be paid for, and the penalty is eternal death, separation from God forever. And for us, any of us who pay that, it's in hell apart from him forever. But it was all put on Jesus, and he sacrificed himself. And God was pleased with that sacrifice. And so the blood of Jesus, unlike in years past when they would sacrifice bulls and goats and all these things, and that was just all a foreshadowing of the one Lamb of God that would come and shed his blood, and that blood can cleanse you of all your sin. Where the blood of bulls and goats can't, but it was all pointing toward this, and he came and he made atonement. He shed his blood and paid for your sins. And so if you repent and you believe, your sins are covered, they're forgiven. His blood was a sufficient sacrifice. And so God tells us, don't sin, but if you do, God can take care of it. And that's how. That's how, when we repent and we put our faith in Jesus, all of our sin is forgiven, past, present, and future at that moment. Now, we still need to confess as we, even though all our sins forgiven, we go along as a believer. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. That was rude the way you said that to her. And God wants us to do 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we're forgiven of all sin if your faith is in Jesus. But every time you slip up, we got to restore that fellowship with him through confession. So we got to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And so, don't sin, but if you do, God can take care of it. You know, it's kind of like, the different lives in an arcade game, if you think about it. We were at the beach, I think, in not too long ago, and John Allen and myself and Christian went to this place, County Line, and they've got this deep dish Chicago-style pizza that we love to get when we're down there, and so the three of us were in there. And they had an old arcade game where you sit down on either side. It was Miss Pac-Man. And if you're familiar with Pac-Man, you have this screen, and you have this little yellow face that eats all these dots, and you go around and eat all these dots, and there's these little ghosts you have to watch out for. Well, you get three lives. You get three lives. And you can be working that Pac-Man. And I guess the thought, if I was giving the quarters out, I guess I would be like, well, listen, don't die. You know, get up all the points you can. See if you can win the game. Go as far as you can. But if you do, I've got more quarters. And so my kids were playing that game, and in a sense, they could play, and that's the principle. They know, wow, if I'm going to get points, if I'm going to keep going and not waste my dad's money, I got to stay alive. But if I die, he's got more quarters. He's got more quarters. And God has an unlimited supply of quarters. It'll never end. And he says, live life for him. Play the game for him, so to speak. Live for him and keep on going and don't sin. But if you do, he's got unlimited quarters. He's covered it all. So what about you? What do? When you sin, how are you right now? Maybe you have a guilt right now that you need to deal with. Maybe there's just a residing guilt that shouldn't be there. If you're a believer, you've repented and you've put your faith in Jesus, and whatever it is, if you've confessed it, then he's forgiven it. Your sins are forgiven. He's removed them as far away from you as the east is from the west. But if you have that guilt there, that lingering guilt, examine it. See whether you're in the faith. Do what the Scripture tells us. Examine yourself. See, if I were to die today, what would I tell the Lord if I stood before Jesus and he said, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would I tell him? Think about what your answer would be. And if it's anything other than something like, well, you know, I don't deserve to be in here. I'm such a sinner. I could never be in here. But you paid for all my sins and you're raised from the dead. And And I just trusted in you to get me in here. I'm trusting in you and you alone, Jesus, to get me in here. I've put all my faith in you. Nothing I could do, my church attendance and my baptism, and nothing I could do. I put all my faith in you, Jesus. If you can say that in your heart before the Lord, all my faith in you to get me to heaven, then the guilt shouldn't be there. Go to the Lord. Confess. If you had any other answer there, go to the Lord and just accept His grace. Just put your faith in Jesus and Him alone. Don't sin, but if you do, God can take care of it. If we're going to walk as Jesus did, we not only need to do that, but also obey His commands. That's what we see in 3 through 5a. We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Obey His commands. If we're going to walk as Jesus did, don't sin, but if you do, God can take care of it. And then obey His commands. If we're walking like Jesus did, Jesus perfectly obeyed the Father's commands, didn't He? We need to obey His commands. It's said in 3, if we obey, we know that we have come to know Him. If we obey His commands, we know that we've come to know Him. And so you can look at your life and you can see, well, do I generally obey His commands? It doesn't mean you obey Him perfectly and you don't sin anymore. You never sin. But when you look at the pattern of your life, you look at the overall picture of your life, that's where you can ask the question, what is your life characterized by? Is it characterized by disobedience to God, or is it characterized by obedience to Him? Look at the big picture. Well, in general, when you look at your life, if you obey the Lord, then you know that you've come to know Him. But then in verse 4, if we don't obey, then we don't know Him. That's what verse 4 is saying. The man who says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so if you look at your life and really, you don't see obedience to the Lord. Overall, you just see disobedience to the Lord. You got to check that faith. He says, if you don't obey, then you don't know Him. That's what He's talking about in verse 4. And then in 5, obey the word and God's love is truly made complete in you. Look at that. But if anyone obeys His word, the word of God, how can you obey it if you don't know it? You know, we had a message not too long ago where I think they found the book of the law and looked in it. Or it may have been even in another place, but it was when one of the kings discovered the scripture and they read in the book of the law, and they realized, what are we doing, you know, with these Moabites? This Moabite is among us, and you know, we're not obeying the word of God. Well, do you know it well enough to obey it? Have you read it all? How do you know you're not disobeying some of it if you haven't read it all? Are you making your way through it? Maybe you haven't read it all, but you got a plan to. You're on your way. And I hope you read it every day. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone. We're good at getting 3 meals a day so we can sustain our physical bodies. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. That's how people really live. I hope you're taking your spiritual intake 3 times a day, if you're taking your food intake 3 times a day. we obey the word, God's love is truly made complete in you. Look at verse 5. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Maybe you'd like to read the whole Bible through. You're just not sure where to go. Open your worship bulletin and you'll see what to do right there. Just follow that His Word for you in there and do it for about a year. You'll read more than the whole Bible. Just keep doing that. Keep doing that. Obey His commands. Yeah, you know, let's think about that game again. Just for an illustration. You know, if my kids were playing that game, or let's say you were playing that game, and let's say the Lord was the one giving you the quarters, but He wanted you to play for Him. He wanted you to play that game for Him. And He would supply you with all the quarters. Well, what would it be like if you sat down to play and you got His quarter, and thank you, Lord, for the quarter, and you know He wants you to play for Him. He wants you to play the way He wants you to play, and you get on there, and verse 3, if we obey, we know we have come to know Him. And, you know, He says, okay, turn right there. Okay, now go up. Okay, now get that big dot right there. Okay, now come back down. And as long as you're doing whatever He tells you to do, you're just listening to Him. You're obeying Him. You've got that relationship with Him. You're following Him. And then verse 4, if we don't obey, we don't know Him. What would it be like if He's giving you the quarters? You're supposed to be playing for Him. But you're like, Lord, you know, all right, I hear you, but I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear where you're telling me to go, what you're telling me to do. I want to hear your voice. Let me just play it how I want. I just want to go the way I want. Well, that would be somebody who didn't know Him, didn't love Him. Think about it. If you could step back a number of years and maybe to 2002 or 2003, and you and I were in New Orleans at the hotel I used to work at. And I was your bellman, and you came to stay at our hotel. And my friend Mo, who drove this Nighthawk cab. What if Mo came by and I said, hey, here, get in the cab with Mo. And you just wanted to go around New Orleans, and you wanted to see the city in different places. And you didn't really have a destination. You just got in, and you were having to pay your fare. And you were telling Mo, okay, just go all the way down Canal Street. I want to see what's at the end down here. And he just took a right. He said, hey, no, go down Canal. And then he just took another right, and he went over to his house, and he said, no, what are you doing? I'm paying you. What's going on here? Picture of disobedience. The Lord has paid a lot more than a cab fee. The Lord has paid everything. He's given His life for you. He's paid everything. Do you let Him just direct you in that cab? Do you just go wherever He wants you to go on any given day, at any given time? Do you let Him take the driver's seat of your life, so to speak, 24/7? Oh, this is your life now, Lord. You bought me. You bought me at a high price. I'm yours. Wherever you tell me to go, that's where we're going today, Lord. Or would you be more like that cab driver in your life, ignoring the Lord's voice, doing what you want to do, going where you want to go? And you would need to examine that relationship that's at its foundation, because this is saying you don't know Him. If that's the pattern of your life, you don't know Him. Even if you're saying, I know Him, I've been in church all my life, I was baptized when I was 7. Check your obedience. Walk as Jesus did. If you're going to walk as Jesus did, don't sin, but if you do, God can take care of it. Obey His commands. If you claim to live in him, walk as Jesus did. That's our third point. If you claim to live in him, walk as Jesus did. That's what we see in verse 6. Whoever claims to live in him, to be in Jesus, I'm saved, I'm in him, I'm a Christian. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That means when people look at your life and when you examine your own life, it looks more and more like Jesus as you go along in this Christian life. It's becoming more and more like Jesus. The person I've seen this in the most, and I talk about him all the time, my mentor, Jay Wolfe. Over the last year, since probably 97 when I first met him, and I've spent a lot of time with him just watching him and saying, I've never seen anybody that looks more like Jesus on this earth than him. I see Jesus. When I was 23, and I was drinking like a fish and partying all the time and having to spend the night in jail because I drove or whatever, when all that was going on in my life, and a number of other things that I want to even share. I already shared too much. When all that was going on in my life, I bet if you looked at my life then and you knew me then, and then you looked at my life now, I bet I look more like Jesus now than I did back then. Walk as Jesus did. If you claim to live in him, walk as Jesus did. Your life should be becoming more and more like him, because in Romans 8 it says he's conforming you into the image of his son. I just heard an incredible testimony by this young man who was he was Muslim. He's been Muslim all his life, and he was homosexual. And he was in college at ASU. And the Lord got a hold of him. He had a praying Christian mom that was always praying for him. And I can't share the whole story for you for the sake of time, but he came to a point in his dorm room where he just was holding up his hands to the Lord and said, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm just totally yours. I surrender everything to you. And he looks a lot more like Jesus today than he did then. Right after that, he got all his Muslim attire, all his little the Muslim hats, and he got his Quran, and he got his prayer rugs, every one of them, and he went as far away from ASU as he could, and he threw them in a trash somewhere, and then he came back, and now today, I think it's a few years later, his fiance is going to wait on him as he's heading off to seminary. I think he left this past Friday to go to seminary. His fiance is waiting. He's been delivered from homosexuality. He looks a lot more like Jesus today than he did back then. If you claim to live in him, walk as Jesus did. Galatians 2:20 will be significant in your life. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That verse is saying, not only in the cab illustration, let God be in the back seat directing where you drive. That verse says, you are the cab. Christ is in you, and just let him drive. Let him drive your life. Just let him fully take over. That's how to live the Christian life. And a couple last tests in the end were, if you look at 7-9, if you hate your brother, you're still in the darkness. Test yourself with these things. A couple more tests. If you hate your brother, you're still in the darkness. That's what we see in 7-9. Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Verse 9, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. And that's your brother or sister in Christ, your fellow believer. Test yourself there. even though you claim to be in the light. Yeah, I know I'm a Christian. Are there any brothers or sisters in Christ that you hate? Well, this says you're in the darkness. But on the other hand, verse 10, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. If you love your brothers and sisters in Christ, you live in the light. You live in Jesus, who said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning, and help us to walk as you did. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to repent even now and say, Jesus, I'm so tired of doubt. I just come to you right now telling you I'm a sinner. I know that the penalty for my sin is death and hell, but I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross, all of them. I believe you're raised from the dead. I'm asking you to save me. Come into my life. I put all my faith in you. I just trust in you and you alone, Jesus, to save me from my sins. I'm yours. I'm yours, Jesus. Oh, Lord, if anyone prayed that in their heart, help them to come forward when Chris leads us in this song. Thank you for what you just did in their lives, Lord. And, Lord, if there's someone, Lord, who you're calling to join this fellowship, to become a part of your church here, Lord, move them when Chris leads us. May they come and say, this is where I belong. This is where the Lord wants me. Help them to step out of their seat. If there's anything else that you're speaking to anyone, Lord, may they do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name.